Welcome. This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey. And today, we are always going to give you the gems, the solutions. I have to you none other than the brother, the author of Gentrification, How the People Can Take Back Our Land, Mr. Thomas Lofkin. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Welcome, and thank you for coming today to talk to the people and give us the solutions that we need. You've been out here doing this for many years. Tell us about your background.
Okay, first, I'm Thomas T.J. Lofkin, the author of Monetizing Gentrification. My background is I'm a celebrity car builder. I build a lot of lowriders for the rap videos, movies, TV shows, commercials, etc. And I'm also just a builder, so learned about construction at a very young age. It was generational. You know, my grandfather and dad handed me down a toolbox and taught me a lot of trades. So I went on to use those things to, you know, help pioneer the lowrider industry, teaching all my friends how to start businesses, as well as how to be homeowners, commercial real estate owners, etc. So now I travel the country teaching those same things.
How long have you been doing this?
Since I was probably, 9, 10, and houses, working on houses, that's the same. So, professionally with a business license or something like that, probably since I was 20, 21. Now I'm 49.
Amazing. So you got your business license in your 20s, is that correct?
Yes. I've been a business owner since I was 21 years old.
You are the definition of self-sustainability goals, you know. And one thing that throughout the years of following this journey and watching you has been trade skills, that you push trade skills. I've always seen you closely working with young people, the disadvantaged, with helping them get the opportunity for getting trade skills. Can you tell us more about what that journey has been for you?
Well, it's been a headache, honestly, but it's been so rewarding. Pushing the trades is not what's wanted here in the West, in America, in the African-American community. They're pushing. There's a lot of money behind college education. So because of who I am and my background, you know, I kind of watched market and I talked to all the right people, and we all knew that day was coming to an end. And, you know, we can see it, you know, just when you've been in business as long as I have, you have your pulse on different things in the economy where everybody gets, you know, that most people just don't bother to be bothered with. And it was very clear that jobs were running out. Technology was taking over, because as an entrepreneur, I kept having to adjust and modify to accommodate all the new changes. And I knew, me and my friends, we consoled each other, and it's like we saw the need to not need employees anymore, you know, because of the technology that was coming out. So anyway, I go back to the school districts and say, hey, I'd like to talk. I want to let y'all know what's going on, because y'all not talking about this, you know. And I became an advisor to the Thompson School District, the Englewood School District as well. But others, they did not want me coming because college was their answer. They didn't care about my demographic. So, you know, I get a lot of speaking engagements for certain people, but others don't want me speaking at all because it interferes with this billion-dollar education industry. No, and that has nothing to do with the trade. But now that things have manifested themselves, where, you know, COVID came in, and the only people who are working now are the people with the trades. You know, so things are turning in my favor, unfortunately. I mean, that's a good and a bad, but my goal was just to help our people and get them in position before all of this stuff happened. Like you say, I've been talking about this for about 5-6 years now. And now it's finally manifested itself in the people who are creating wealth for all the tradesmen. They're building houses like they've never have before. core in U.S. history. It's groundbreaking things happening right now, and our college students are not benefiting from it. They're sitting at home, they're being laid off, they're on unemployment. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, when we had community leaders telling us what's happening.
And that's why I contacted you a long time ago, wanting to get you on the show before the world popped off and financially transitioned, because of the importance of knowing this artificial intelligence is here.
Yeah.
And to know that you've been in the trenches. For all of you, this man was been out here in California, and then when I finally got the guts to reach out and ask a brother, he was in my hometown in the East Coast, in a little town called Merck City, Sumter, South Carolina. Of all places, you talk about the energy of someone who's traveling in the community to try to get us to be more self-sustainable. TJ, this Sankofa journey of you turning and looking back, can you tell the people what are the benefits of buying back the block? Let's talk about your book. What can you share with us about the book so that everybody can go onto your website and get a copy?
Well, the book is called Monetizing Gentrification and Building Black Ownership. And what I can tell you about it is, after traveling to over 15 states and seeing things that was all mind-altering, mind-blowing, I decided to, I was told, you know, most people didn't believe the things that I was saying, so I needed to just start taking pictures and writing down, you know, what I've been seeing and explaining it. And, you know, I went to so many cities, and I was just a little kid in a candy store, technically, hypothetically speaking. And the people who were with me, they didn't understand why I was so excited about their real estate booming. You know, their small towns growing, so... that was the need for me to write the book to explain to people so how they can create generational wealth through seeing the values in their own community. So I don't necessarily like the terms buy the block back, because what that means to me is it means that it's already been gentrified and now it's too high. So we're going to go in and pay retail prices for the houses. I don't necessarily, that's why I don't care for that term. But what I do like is when we start developing our own communities. Meaning we already have the, we haven't lost it yet, you know, because like I said, if it's already been gentrified, we don't want the block back, you know. So all of these communities, I'm currently in Sumter right now, you know, and I'll be headed to Columbia later this morning, this rising, and you know, it's still, these are areas that we can save, you know, like Compton, where I left, where I'm from, it's kind of like halfway, the battle is there. It's too expensive, $600,000 for a two-bedroom house. You know, that's kind of, oh, that's overpriced for houses that used to be $75,000. So I have, just like any general or any person in war that we know, you know, go where, you know, we always have to get a place where we can stand on. So Sumter, South Carolina, some places in Georgia, other places, you know, are very well to stand and buy up the neighborhoods. Continue to own the black neighborhoods that we already have. You know, areas like New York is kind of like a wrap because they've done too much there. It's $1 million, you know, to buy something in New York is just ridiculous. So, yes, the book, something out of that book, is any homeowner, any potential up-and-coming wannabe investor or homeowner, I think it should be mandatory for them to read that book because, you know, you shouldn't have to go figure out something when I've already been in the trenches and figured it out and created the blackprint, you know, not the blueprint, but the blackprint, meaning what things that we need to know before we go into a place to purchase a home. You know, we know the deception that they're going to run, the lies they're going to say, but they literally are removing home ownership for African American people as we speak in large numbers. We've lost over 70% of our black-owned businesses before COVID. You know, due to gentrification. Now, because of COVID, we probably lost like another 30%, 20% or something. So, you know, it's mandatory reading that, you know, if not coaching by myself, from myself, or training one of my training classes before we make moves and build.
got 2.3 million people out here listening right now. Mr. Thomas T.J. Lofkin, you got to go online. You got to buy this book because the information is out here. You know, there is no excuse. In my family, personally, we've had heirs property on all sides for many generations, many pieces of property. So just to know that that place is a place that you're standing in right now when you approve, I'm excited about the black print of the legacy because it hasn't been lost. And there's a saying, you know, God don't make no more dirt. So I understand. What? They say God don't make no more dirt.
Yeah, he made one amount of it, gave it to us, and it's up to us to distribute it properly amongst each other. And we're being taught not to. We're being taught to not even look at the dirt. Don't value the dirt. Value your BMW. You know, value your iPhone or something like that. But there's no value in home ownership anymore. We're being talked out of it. So, yes, that is the real thing. The real thing is real estate. That's why they call it real estate, because it's real. You know, everything else doesn't even really matter. You know, not your degree, not your title, not, you know, your doctor, your whatever it is they call you, or, you know, none of that stuff really matters. All that matters is, do you own the home where you lay your head in? Because if you don't, then you might be pushed out and become homeless one day. You know, we have doctors that can't afford to live anywhere because they're not making enough money to purchase homes in certain neighborhoods. So yes, the universe creator made us some dirt and gave it to us, and now we don't recognize it. So that's what my goal is, to help us to recognize it, see the value, and to create generational wealth. That's all.
Man, you're right, because
those who want it.
Back home, I used to work at these universities, HBCUs. And what most people didn't know, when they saw the professor pull up, you know, with the PhD on the name and the fabulous car, I had this community garden that I would bring food in. And these people were hungry, in between the student loan debt, the alimony for the failed marriage, the child support. They were just living in this house that they couldn't afford, driving a car that they couldn't afford, and there was no self-investment. It was just the look, the appeal. So I love the fact that you've always kept it real and told the people to be raw. Where can we find you on Instagram?
I'm at Thomas T.J. Lofton. That's T-H-O-M-A-S L-T-J-L-O-F-T-I-N.
All right.
Thomas T.J. Lofton.
Make sure you like and follow and share. This is some valuable information that all the people need. Let's go back to the roots of this journey with you. When you started out, you said, you know, you had your family to help you in the trade. What was that journey like to begin to work with Hollywood? The people want to know.
Something that I wanted to do. I stopped very early on and started contracting my friends to do it because I didn't see, put it like this, I asked all the wrong questions of the people who were trying to hold the money. You know, meaning they were, Hollywood's all about, let me give you a new Cadillac, let me give you a little shiny coin, you know, let me give you the ladies. And I was more interested in the money. You know, so I'm more concerned. I came in asking all the questions. You know, a lot of my friends come in and they see the celebrity and they, wow, she's a multimillionaire or whatever, or wow, that's the guy that played in my favorite movie. I was more concerned about, how much are you paying us? How much are people over there making? You know, how much, why are we making less money? So how much did that camera cost? Did you go to school to learn how to operate that camera? Why are there no African Americans on the set of this movie? The only people who's on the set of this movie and this documentary or this rap video is the rapper and myself. You know, everybody else with a camera, a train track, and things like that are making money off of the rapper, but they're not paying. We're not benefiting. No one else is making money. You know, there's over 100. 400 people that's surrounding this movie shoot, but only two of them are black. So I was the guy who said, this exists because of you, so you need to hire, tell them you want black people to be here. You know, and they saw what I was doing. They didn't like that too much. You know, I asked all the right questions. You know, I'm like, I found out that all of these people who was pulling down, you know, $500,000 a year, $1 million a year to hold the camera, you know, this director was making all kind of money, and none of these people went to college. None of them. None of them. None of these things they were doing, they went even taught in college. But all of these people pulled down way more than any college graduate I know, unless they're a doctor. You know, you had 18, 19-year-old people. These are the things that my eyes show me when I'm sitting on the set, and it was disturbing. And this is kind of what started my whole, what is really happening? Why are we putting our people in college when the people who really make money don't go? Why are we putting our children in college when the people, when the trades, I mean, when the things that help you to make real money are not even there, or not taught there? When I'm sitting on that movie set, it was such an eye-awakening situation. I'm looking at the people holding cameras. I'm looking at guys laying train tracks on the ground for the camera to move. I'm looking at guys rigging up a prop on the stage, creating a fake building, creating a fake scene, and none of them went to college, but every last one of them I talked to made over $100,000 a year. Let me rephrase that. Made over $200,000 a year. And when I asked them all, how did you learn this? It was, oh, my dad taught me. He's been doing this for 50 years, so he taught me. Now here I am, 18 years old, making $250,000 a year, and I'm just following his footsteps, and I just started my own company.
Nepotism.
You know, and this was the average conversation I was having on that film set of movies, TV shows, videos, wherever I went. That was the average conversation that we were having. When I go back to my community, it's all about, I got my degree, I'm a professor, I'm a doctor. You want to be like me? I'm not a homeowner, I'm renting a condo, I'm leasing a Mercedes. All these people own my house. I have a second home here. It was just night and day, period. So that's what it was like for me. And, you know, outside of that, them not paying the rappers the money that they should be paying them, you know, why is it all these, you know, why are we degrading our sisters? Why can't she wear clothes? Why are the directors telling the rapper to slap, call her another B-I-T-C-H? I didn't like that. So no, the all money ain't good money. I have too many morals. My friend said, you had too many morals. You can't just take the money and go home. I said, no, I can't. I gotta say something. Because I don't like that, because I have a daughter. I don't want my daughter to be up here and sitting here half naked trying to make $1,500. So, you know?
Thank you. And the man with the camera making $200K. You know, this is like nepotism when you describe everything. A society of Hollywood is strong in nepotism. And a lot of times people go, oh, I didn't know those two people were related to each other. I didn't know that was her father. You know, but to go in on the low end as a people, we got to redirect that energy and become more self-sustainable. You're indeed correct. Oftentimes, trade schools compared to going to college isn't the thing. I don't like it when you turn 18 and you feel like you either go into the military or you go to college. I want our kids to be able to have those limitless opportunities out there. That's the black print. Man, brother TJ, you sounding like the pro-affirmative action, like the pro-black affirmative action leader for us all, to know that you've gone and held people accountable and asked the right questions, because all money ain't good money, for real.
Right.
And there has to be a line that we have to draw in the sand and say, you know, I won't do this because I have a legacy. All too often, that's the only thing as a female that makes me feel like, oh, our people. But then when they're brothers like yourself who are out here, committed men, fathers, leaders, builders, you know, to see the platform that you put out here, it's no excuse for us. To see the work that you put in daily, There was a post you did one day where you needed something like a door put up, so you got an assessment. And everybody, when he heard the price these people were trying to charge him, he was like, all right, guys, watch me do this.
Right. That's still happening, you know. That's still happening. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. You know, right now, we are in the biggest real estate market in U.S. history. You understand what I'm saying? U.S. history. In the history of the U.S., we've never built so many houses. We've never needed so many carpenters as we do right now. And in a whole, in a nutshell, there's not enough of us benefiting from this. When I look at these construction situations, I don't see African Americans as a part of that. We make up the one percenters. We're like less than 1%, a half a percent of the 100 people that are benefiting from this construction boom. And these people are retiring early. So when I quote a price, when I get an estimate for something, they're looking at me like, you don't look like me, so I don't like you, and I don't even know how you own a home anyway, so I'm going to charge you a lot of money to do this door, to do this, fix this, and to fix that, or to come in and do this work. And it's ridiculous, you know. I'm dealing with, yesterday, I'm at the planning department, you know, to get a permit, a building permit, and they're looking at me like, why are you here? You need a contract. What do you mean I need a contractor? I know how to build a house. Well, you should have a license. No, by law, as a homeowner, I can do whatever it is I want to my house. You know? And they're looking at me like, you're black. You probably have a degree or should, but you should not be here because this is not where your people are. That's basically what they were saying to me without saying it. You know, and it's sad because this is where the real wealth is. I want us as a people to be where the real wealth is. No, you don't have to have, no, having a degree is not more important than having generational wealth. You know, having homes to leave to my children. No, it's not. And I'm not here to blast college. I'm not here to blast education. I just want to state the facts, and I want everyone to know that there are other choices. So, yes, I'm one of the people who benefited from that, having a trade. You know, I'm one of the benefits. I'm the poster boy for saying trades can make sex and create success. So why is that? Because I took a mechanics certificate or a diploma from high school and had a mechanic class. It took that mechanic class to generate millions of dollars and help my friends generate millions of dollars with me. You know, but no one else with a degree can come home and say that type of stuff. You know, when I come up right now, currently, if I say, hey, I am a master car builder, I know how to work on every kind of car, I have people looking for me that will send me a private jet and fly me on the other side of the planet because they have cars that need to be fixed there. Or I could go work across the street at the local Jiffy Lube, hypothetically speaking. But when our young people come home from college, that is just the beginning of them looking for a job. They're not guaranteed a job. They're like one of many. They're like the rat race. I gotta see your grades. What school did you go to? It's too many. Me, as a tradesman, everybody, they're like, I can tell them what I want to make because I don't have to go work for you. I can stay home and work in my garage and make more money than I will work for you. And I want other people to have that same benefit. I want everyone to know how that feels, to be able to tell people what you want to make. You know, to own a business, to go to work when you feel like you want to work, to be like myself. I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, I can run my business over my tablet today. I'm going to go here and work from there. You know, people, I can sit on the side of the road and do a consultation for someone and do a training on my tablet on the side of the freeway and make $1,000. And I want everybody to know that that's possible. Things like that exist. It's not about me bragging. It's not about me showing off. It's about me expressing the option that you too have, that you too can do all of these things. You just need to know what the black print is. That's it. And you're not going to learn it through traditional ways.
That's right, the black print. Well, I have a question for people who live overseas like myself, who are from back home. Are we still able to be invested in the real estate market and actually benefit from your program?
Absolutely. You know, my good friend, she used to work. She was living in the Emirates, and she would send money home to me for me to go invest in real estate for her. You know, so I set her up quite a nest egg, and the question for her is, why are you still working? Why are you still working? You're generating $20,000-$30,000 a month off of your stuff, and I guess some people are just programmed and wired that way, you know? So I respect my sister and appreciate her, but, you know, she made some good money overseas, and I love it, tax-free, you know? So yes, there's very simple for you if you're interested in me helping you to become successful and create generational wealth within the next 4 to 5 years in real estate here in the States. Please reach out to me. I can give my numbers, area code 310-619-3954. Again, that's 310-619-3954. You can also go to my website, thomastjlofton.com. thomastjlofton, LOFTIN.com. And, you know, I have some training classes. Just research some of my pages, my Instagram, my Facebook, all of my name is the same. And they will see, you will see that there are a lot of training classes I teach, but most of my stuff is custom to cater to the person's personal need, personal situation. So don't think that that class on my website is the one and only.
All right.
So reach out to me. Let's talk.
Absolutely.
Also,
continue.
Also, if they like to book me for anything other speaking engagements or webinars or Zooms or et cetera, reach out to me.
Please. I know that I will absolutely will be doing that. Thank you so much for coming out and talking to the people today. You have given us the blueprint. In spite of everything, people, instead of being reactive to the things that are going on in the news, let's be about being proactive. In the event that 45 gives out another stimulus, grow that money, honey. Take that 10% that you would have invested into another 501c3 called church and do some self-investment. Reach out to Brother Thomas T.J. Lofton. He is here. He has the black print. He has benefited, prospered, and hasn't held this selfishly to himself. Brother, thank you so much. Do you have any advice that you can give to brothers and sisters that are out there right now during this time? What's your what do you want to leave with the people?
Start a business, invest in real estate, and start building houses from the ground up, and start pushing our people to get into construction and into the trades. That way you can turn around and distribute money throughout the community like I do. So today I owe someone probably another $1,500 for some electrical work they're doing. Tomorrow, there's a plumber coming over and another $3,000. So I'm able to continue. We should be able all to do that to be able to benefit the community. Same thing with the automotive industry. You know, when you take in a car to build or restore, you have the power to turn around and use that money to invest in other black businesses. So invest your, stop buying stock and invest in black businesses. You know, people who are buying stock are investing in white businesses. So now it's time, they're investing in white businesses that do not like us, that's using that money to destroy us. So take your money and invest it in a black business like myself and like your radio show, so that we can continue to hire people and grow, continue to grow our communities. That's my advice. Some of it, but the second.
Thank you, thank you, thank you again for joining us today. To everyone that's out there, let's be proactive. Get on it. This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, always coming to you, seeking solutions. Thank you for staying tuned today. And until next time, do bye-bye, boo.